This is Dave Denniston, and welcome back to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
Welcome to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, where it's all about slashing your debt and taxes and creating a liberated lifestyle. And now, your host, with a love of fantasy books and funk, and a hatred of running more than 3 miles, Dave Denniston.
Okay, well, welcome back, my friends. Well, I just want to thank you so much for spending this valuable time that you have with me. We are now at the point of having nearly 3,000 downloads since we started. So I'm just so honored, so privileged to have you with me in this journey. Well, today we're going to spend a good deal of time talking about financial life cycles of physicians. And I'm sure you can remember back when you were a young medical student that you just couldn't wait to get to residency and there was this huge paycheck that sat in front of you. Maybe even sitting here, you're listening to this, you're now transitioned to practice. You're struggling with financial decisions. And you're wondering whether you should put money here or here or there or here. And it's also confusing. Sometimes you just want to tear your hair out. And after all, once you're actually in practice, now we're talking about at least $200,000 annually for most physicians, especially if you're in primary care, or maybe $400,000 or more if you're specializing. Quite a paycheck, right? Well, unfortunately, we all know wages are stagnating. And so we have to have laser-like focus decisions to have them become more and more important. Can you relate to that? Absolutely. Well, as a physician, you go through these different stages in life. And in each of those times, you have a different focus. So explore with me here for a second what each of those stages should look like, what you should be focusing on. So before you go out, you start planning all the things that you can buy or the kind of life that you want to live in retirement. Let's have a come to Jesus meeting, a reality check real quick, you guys. So in phase one residency, here you're done with medical school, right? You're starting to make a little bit of dough. You're probably in your late 20s or early 30s. You're high in debt. As a matter of fact, you're hauling it around the country with you. And unfortunately, you're low in income. Now, typically at this stage, you guys, it's all about protect, protect, and protect some more. That's why I call this the protection phase. The main goal here is you want to set yourself up for success post-residency. And for most physicians, they need to ensure that they have an adequate cash reserve. They need to have appropriate insurance coverage, especially, my friends, if you have people depending on you. The hack here is pretty simple, really. It's living on less. It's simply live like a resident. That's right, my friends. Live like a resident. This advice, it's said over and over and over. It's tired, but it's true. Simply, my friends, establish a budget. Stick to it. Please don't commit yourself to high rents, car payments, mortgages. Where I see many residents fall, where they mess up, is they don't have this inner financial fortitude. And it's understandable. They're so busy. They don't have time. They don't have time for many things. And they don't have time to keep track of what they're spending. So there's a simple solution, guys. It's really easy. Very low tech. Are you ready? It's this. Take out a set amount of cash every month. Groceries, eating out, fun and games, entertainment. Stick that cash in your wallet. When you're out, that's it. You are forced to budget without keeping track of a budget. If your wallet is empty, you're done. So for groceries, stick that cash in an envelope. Get into that envelope when you need groceries. When it's gone, you're done. No more shopping. And develop that kind of discipline for whatever area you may struggle in, whether it's buying clothes, whether it's eating out, whether it's one or two areas of discretionary spending that you can't control. Here are some other thoughts, my friends, some quick hacks while you're in residency. As a matter of fact, do it in this order. Number one, enroll in PSLF as soon as possible, assuming you're working for a nonprofit. And you, if you want to pay off your loans even sooner but not get debt forgiveness, refinance your loans while in residency. I'm going to talk about in a future podcast some of the different companies that you can do. Number two, put $300 a month in an account that you can't touch, but you could access if necessary. So please, my friends, avoid cash value life insurance. Avoid long-term financial commitments. Number three, grab free money when it's available. This means taking advantage of employer retirement plan matches if they're available. If they're giving you 25 cents on the dollar, put in the buck. If they're putting 50 cents on the dollar up to the first 4%, take that. Take that money. Number four, buy your next vehicle in cash. Don't finance some of those big purchases. Use cash. Number five, invest in a Roth IRA. The money comes out tax-free for your first home purchase, or even better, tax-free in retirement. And number six, get term life insurance, at least $1 million, and disability income insurance, $3,000 a month minimum, before you transition to practice. And so there's a whole bunch of podcasts I've done on PSLF, IBR, payee, PER. So make sure to check out those show notes. I've also done several podcasts on companies for refinancing your debt during residency. So make sure to check out those podcasts on the show notes as well at drfreedompodcast.com. All right, so that's the first stage in residency. The next phase is the pay down phase, transitioning to practice. So now in this stage, you're likely to be married, have a significant other, maybe you have a family, and there's more financial responsibilities. And you're probably going to have your gig, and these six figures are trickling in. The key for year one, my friends, is don't buy a house. Note, that's only year one. If you know that you love the area, you love the practice, hey, go for it. Get it done. But consider this question. What if you don't like the area? What if you don't like the practice? What if you choose to move? And once you do buy a home, don't be surprised to see yourself being strapped a little bit more, because you got to buy stuff to fill the house. So the $4,000, the $5,000 a month that you were saving, it suddenly disappears into the house, my friends. New blinds, new furniture, new this, new that. And so to help with accountability, a financial advisor who specializes in physicians will come in handy. For you to live on 60% to 70% of your income as a retiree, you need to start investing early. You need to start investing systematically. My friends, this means maxing out your 401k. This means doing a backdoor Roth IRA. This means setting aside more and more money in your cash cushion, and of course, paying off debt. The most successful physicians I know that I've met with, they focus on one aspect of their financial life. They have this laser-like focus on it: being debt-free. My friends, if you want financial freedom, if you want time freedom, you have to be debt-free. If you can pay off your student loan during the first few years of post-residency, you can begin to think about retirement. This also means during this phase, you've transitioned to practice, you have to get rid of your credit card debt as soon as possible if you have any. You want to get rid of your car loans as soon as possible. You want to get rid of all non-tax deductible debt as soon as possible. Well, what's the hack here? Delay, delay, delay. Delay those pricey purchases. Before you go for luxuries, review your risk management, your life insurance, your disability policies. You might actually now, after you pay off your debt, you might be able to lower some of the costs of those things. My friends, it's all about a matter of getting your priorities right. housing absolutely becomes a priority, especially if you have a family to take care of. There's a whole number of factors that go into it. As a matter of fact, I was working with a physician in Southern California, great couple, both are physicians, and they're cramped in this small little apartment, and they have a nanny, and they just can't take it anymore. So they bought a house. They know they're going to be there. They have family in the area. And so it was the right thing for them. Now, make sure to explore your financing options that are tailored for physicians. I see lots and lots of physicians getting fantastic deals right now through Bank of America. They have specific physician loan options. Also, you consider working with an independent mortgage broker like my friend Josh Metal. And Josh may or may not have programs that can compete with Bank of America, so just make sure you shop out among several different places. So for more thoughts on refinancing real estate, make sure to check the show notes for this podcast at drfreedompodcast.com, or clicking on the show notes in iTunes will take you there. So now, my friends, the third phase of this strategy is the accumulation phase. You're solidly in practice now. You're 35 to 60 years old. You're getting closer and closer to retirement. And at this stage, the focus is on financial accumulation. If you haven't cleared your student loans yet, absolutely look to get those things paid off and repaid. Check out some of those repayment programs that we've talked about where you can refinance your debts and get them paid off at a lower interest rate. And more importantly, now at this stage, you have to max out your retirement plans. You have to look at reducing your taxes. And maybe even now you can get rid of those insurance policies that we talked about before, assuming you've built up a great deal of assets. So now maybe you can get rid of those things. But that's not all, my friends. As a matter of fact, one of the great struggles as I see physicians heading toward retirement is having a huge amount of money in traditional IRA versus Roth. You want to make sure you have a big chunk in Roth, my friends. This way you can have money that comes out tax-free in retirement in addition to taxable money. As a matter of fact, I was running a whole bunch of scenarios on this time after time after time after time. Roth money came back better than traditional IRA. It didn't seem to matter the tax rate. It didn't seem to matter the rate of return. It didn't seem to matter what the inflation adjustment was or living expenses. Roth was the key. And I see a lot of physicians that have these required minimum distributions of $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 a year. And now your tax bracket creeps up. So you want to be thinking about using more of that Roth side. And an even bigger issue, my friends, is having a solid financial plan in place in this phase. Have you ever seen that ING commercial? There's a whole bunch of people walking around. There's numbers over their head. One of them has $700,000, $581,000 floating above them. Another one, clipping his hedges, has $2.3 million in change. And another person is carrying around, as he walks around the block, $1.4 million. And this is so confusing, right? I mean, why does one person have this? Why does the other person have this? How can they be so different? And more importantly, it begs the question, what's my number? Now, one of my physician clients and his wife, they've done wonderfully over the years. She was a teacher. He was a surgeon. They put themselves through school and they paid off debts. They saved up. They actually even raised two great kids who became docs themselves. And they are successful beyond any measure of most people's standards. Yet one thing nags at them. One hole bothers them all the time. They ask me every time we get together, do we have enough money? Do we have enough money? They're afraid of not having enough. They're afraid of having to go back to work. They're afraid of being destitute after having been so successful. So the key here, you guys, is focusing on the big three. The three things that really determine your retirement: income, living expenses, savings. Each of these components obviously drastically affect another. So consider that what you spend in retirement, it could be the same, it could be higher, it could be lower than than what you're currently spending. The key is figuring that out to the best of your ability. One of my friends, he's making great money, $300,000 a year, and sometimes much more. He's a fantastic salesman. He loves his job. He lives an incredible life. He goes on epic trips all across the country. He's a dreamer. He's an innovator. He's someone with vision. And on top of all that, he's a kind person. He once paid for pizza for all the nurses at a hospital when he was recovering with surgery. Yet, he doesn't have any sort of discipline. He doesn't seem to be saving a single dime. Where does it all go? You have to know, my friends, what those numbers are, because those are the main keys that can determine the age at which you retire. This will give you the definite time frame within which you can accomplish your financial goals. And there's a whole bunch of other variables we have to think about too. Do you want to include Social Security? Do you want to include inflation? What's the rate of return that you're assuming? Some other considerations. Are you paying for your kids' college? How often do you buy cars? Are you planning on buying a second home? Do you have kids or parents that are dependent on you financially? So take lots of time. Work with a great advisor that can walk you through multiple scenarios that can fit your vision. And some final thoughts, my friends. You now have a great idea of what financial planning for doctors is all about. You may have a huge paycheck, but it's very easy to fall into any of these common pitfalls at each stage of life. Ask for help. Get guidance. You can do this. I am here for you. And my friends, just remember, cut your taxes, cut your debt, live a liberated lifestyle. For the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, this is Dave Denniston. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to subscribe on iTunes, and we'll check in again soon. Have a good one.